And he came to study with Plato when he was 20 and stayed with Plato for many, many years before going off ultimately to found his own school. His legacy is incredible. He was, in all probability, the most capable logician ever. He was certainly the founder of academic logic. His works were entirely unsurpassed for 1,700 years and still find an honorable and substantial place in contemporary logic courses. He was arguably the greatest biologist who ever lived. That was, in fact, where his heart lay. More of his works are devoted to biology than to any other topic. He wrote on physics. He wrote on politics. He wrote the most influential work of literary criticism ever composed, the half of it we have. He wrote on metaphysics, the first book, the study of the fundamental nature of things. And for our purposes, perhaps most important, he wrote on ethics. His ethics, his study of how it is we should behave, forms a part of his wider system. And one of the things that absolutely dazzles me about Aristotle, and he does dazzle me, his level-headedness is unbelievable, and his coherence is unbelievable. And that is exemplified in the dazzling fact that everything he writes about is an expression of one fundamental system, one fundamental vision. Whether he is writing about sea sponges or plants or animals or the human soul or even literature, whether he is writing about physics, metaphysics, or ethics or politics, all of these immensely varied topics of discussion reflect and express a fundamental vision. And the fundamental vision is this. Plato focused on the unchanging world which makes this world accessible to us, conceptually and otherwise, in Plato's vision. Aristotle focuses on the world we see before us. And the process that he sees at work at all levels in this world is the seeking of all things to fulfill their potential. The world for Aristotle is a fabulously and intricately interrelated process of becoming. Rather than being a noun thing, it is a gerund, thinging. The world is an ongoing process of thinging for Aristotle. And everything, be it the acorn that seeks to become an oak, be it the embryo that seeks to become a human being, be it in Aristotle's view, the flame that seeks to rise up to its natural place, be it the earth that seeks to be in its natural place beneath water and air, whatever it is, at whatever level, it is trying to fulfill its potential. Potential is a strange thing. Potential, by definition, is something that's not there. It's what something could be and what something should be, but insofar as its potential, it's what something is not yet. Aristotle's world, because everything in it is trying to fulfill its potential, whether consciously or no, is a world that is deeply, profoundly teleological. It is goal-directed. Everything has a goal. What is the goal of the acorn, the telos, to use the Greek term for the acorn? It is to become an oak tree, bearing more acorns. That's what oak trees are about. That's what acorns are about. And his ethics, strangely, from our perspective, and interestingly, forms a part of that system. His ethics ask the question, what is the goal, the telos, the built-in thing that we're supposed to be doing for human beings. What is, to use the technical term, our entelechy. And it is for him to be a fully actualized person, a person whose potentials has been brought to fruition.